The following is a pre-recorded program.
So why are some people healed when we pray and others not?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, as we finish up this month with our Let's Get Healthy emphasis, I asked if you had questions about divine healing, questions about when we pray for the sick, some are healed, others aren't, why we see certain things happen and others not. Is it according to our faith? Does God choose to heal some and not others? How does this work? I think it's good and healthy that we look at this and understand what Scripture says. We've been talking about our role in being healthy, right? There are things that are out of our control. There are things maybe we made mistakes that cause sickness, disease, but we cry out to God for mercy and healing. So it's a massive subject. My doctoral dissertation was on the Hebrew word for healing. I have a whole book, a scholarly monograph, Israel's Divine Healer, for those that really want to dig deep. But what I did is I asked on Facebook for questions. So don't post new ones now. I got more than I could answer even in the course of this hour. But we're going to continue with our thrust this month about let's get healthy. So we start with a question from Samuel. Is it biblical to command sickness to go away, or are we to pray for it to go away? In some cases, we can command. And it certainly is scriptural. Jesus does it, right? He rebukes sickness at different times. He rebukes demons. There are times, for example, Acts 14, Paul perceiving a man had faith to be healed, right? Said, stand up to your feet. Peter tells the lame man in Acts 3 to stand up and walk. So there are times when it is right to speak if we sense that faith and authority and command sickness to leave, especially if it's in association with demons. The general word is in Jacob, James, the fifth chapter, that the elders come and pray for the sick, and the prayer offered in faith makes the sick person well. So we are praying, and Jesus says that we ask the Father in his name. So there are times we pray, and there are times that we command, but we only command if there is that faith and that sense of divine authority. Otherwise, we're just speaking words into the air. Allie, in your experience, does physical healing have a strong connection with spiritual issues that is not being healed could be because there is a spiritual issue one needs to deal with? Yes, that is sometimes the case, but many times we go on witch hunts. I'm just being totally candid with you as a Pentecostal charismatic. When we pray and someone's not healed, we're trying to figure out why. Sometimes we can go on spiritual witch hunts. I'm just being honest with you. And we're digging here and digging there and digging there and digging there. And really, it's just a matter of lack of faith on our part or some other things we don't understand going on, why the person is not healed. You know, some obviously with a different theology would say it's simply not God's will to heal them. But at other times, yes, 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 there is a connection. And when someone repents of something, or when they forgive, or when they yield in a certain area, I know of someone, a specific case that was very dramatic, where when the woman repented of a sinful relationship she was instantly healed of a condition that had plagued her for some years. But we need to be careful. Like I said, let's not go on spiritual witch hunts. Let's be led by the Holy Spirit. Joanne, do all Christians have the power to heal? Jesus said that it was a sign following believers. How can we begin to use this power? All right, number one, the longer ending of Mark, so Mark 16, 9 to 20, which is in most of our Bibles, but in brackets or with a footnote saying it's not in the earliest manuscripts of Mark. That's debatable whether those were the actual words of Jesus. Let's say they were. All right, I believe they were, but there's debate about where they're placed in Scripture. Let's say they were, and that one of the signs that follows believers is that they lay hands on the sick and they recover. It doesn't mean that we have the power to heal necessarily as much as that we have the power of faith in God. So any of us, any believer can potentially pray for someone to be healed. That's the first thing. The second thing is that there are those who are anointed with gifts of healing, and they will have much greater success in praying for the sick. They will see many more results in praying for the sick, maybe in specific areas, deafness, blindness, cancer, different things like that. And you could argue that because the Holy Spirit has been given to us, that with the Holy Spirit is power over demons and disease. In other words, the same spirit that was on the disciples in the Gospels and in Acts is the same spirit that's on us and therefore it's the power of the Holy Spirit who heals. I'd encourage you to look into the writings of Randy Clark. Look for his newest book on healing, and it will give guidelines in terms of how to understand, how to minister, and create atmospheres of faith and things like that. That being said, we understand that there are people who are not healed. We understand that many times we pray every way we know how to pray. We fast, we bind demons, we do this, we do that. People humble themselves before the Lord, search their hearts, and healing still doesn't come. We worship God anyway, even in our sickness and our pain. We worship Him, we honor Him, we love Him. That's an offering that we bring from that perspective of weakness. Lord, I love you and I praise you, whether sick or not, whether in pain or not. You're good, you're God, you're the healer. In 1985, when to everyone's shock, I came down with pneumonia, double pneumonia. Turns out I got viral and bacterial at the same time. It was a real demonic attack. Otherwise, I was a healthy 30-year-old. And I remember laying in the hospital there. I was teaching on healing in our ministry school. I remember laying in the hospital and working on my doctoral dissertation around that, you know, same time. And I wrote on the bandages on my IV, Aniyad Narofecha in Hebrew, I'm the Lord your healer. I said, Lord, a billion years from now, when there is no sickness and disease in your universe, you'll be no more the healer then than you are now. So I'm going to confess you as the healer, whether I'm sick or not. And then whether I'm healed in this world or the world to come, I'm going to confess you as healer. So we want to see more people healed. We know that sickness is debilitating and destructive. We know that healing glorifies the Lord and often brings people to Him. We also know that godly people who are not healed, we don't understand why, but we honor and worship the Lord the same way. Scotty, I would like to see you speak on God's direct hand involving sickness along where Jesus spoke to one saying, go and sin no more unless something worse happens to you. So in John, the fifth chapter, the man who had been crippled for 38 years and is healed, Jesus says, go and sin no more, something worse will come on you. Sometimes sickness is the direct result of sin. Sometimes sickness is reaping what we have sowed. Sometimes sickness is a divine judgment for sin. That's Old Testament, that's New Testament. It's the same. So in cases where there is a direct relationship between sin and sickness, then we must repent of that sin. It says in Jacob, James 5, that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. If they've committed sins, they'll be forgiven. In other words, they're crying out to God for mercy. And if sin is related, sometimes it's absolutely not related. Sometimes there's no relationship between sin and sickness at all. But if there is a relationship, then by all means, there needs to be repenting of that sin and recognizing, like in Acts 12, for example, God's judgment on Herod, an angel of the Lord smites him. You know, it's one example in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 11, divine judgment came on believers in Corinth. And Paul says, if you judge yourself, you won't come under the judgment of the Lord. 1 Corinthians, the end of the 11th chapter. All right, I got a bunch more questions I want to get to. This is the last week we'll be talking as much during the show about our partnership with Trivita. So everybody, do you work out? Do you work out? Or are you getting older and it's harder to build muscle? Maybe you're taking like whey protein or something like that. Well, amino acids, the amazing MyoHealth formula that I'm using and benefiting from myself, is healthy, made with best ingredients and everything like that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be taking it with the healthy lifestyle that I live. You need to check this out. Trust me on this, especially add in nitric oxide. Nitric oxide, amino acids, if you work out, you'll see amazing benefits. If you're trying to get in better shape, you'll see help. If you're trying to develop muscle as you're getting older, it's hard. And from what I understand, this formula is 3 times more effective than whey protein. And any order you get with Trivita, they're turning around and taking a massive amount of that money saying, let's get the line of fire on across the nation. So check this out. We'll be right back.
Have you had a setback from an injury, accident, or surgery that left you feeling weaker and a loss of strength? Or are you feeling the effects of aging and just don't feel like you have the stamina or energy you used to? Then MyoHealth might be an answer to your prayers. Backed by 24 human clinical studies and over $20 million in government-funded research, MyoHealth contains a perfect balance of all 9 essential amino acids. With MyoHealth, you can rebuild your strength, improve your balance and mobility, have more energy while restoring your health and vitality, and start building new, lean, stronger muscle in as little as 30 days. By combining MyoHealth with a healthy diet and regular exercise, you can feel stronger at any age, have more energy, and live a life with vitality. Put the power of MyoHealth to work for you.
Feel stronger, have better balance, and improved quality of life. Try MyoHealth now by calling 800-811-9628 to learn how you can receive a one-month supply free. Build lean muscle, improve balance, and build stronger bones with MyoHealth. And when you call, Trivita will give a substantial portion of your order to help support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Go to Trivita.com and use promo code BROWN40 in the shopping cart or call 800-811-9628. That's 800-811-9628.
All right, so in case you missed it, 800-811-90, oh, hang on, I got to get this close to me, 9628, that's it, 800-811-9628. So call in, find out about the product, get your questions answered, order as much as you like. I recommend getting the nitric oxide also and using these as an amazing combo. And if you're working out, I really want to hear after a month, what kind of results you see. Take it regularly when you're supposed to, etc. And it's a nice drink. Just put a powder in. Enjoy the drink. You can also go online, Trivita.com, and use the code BROWN40. You get a special discount when you do that, BROWN40, or special discount when you call in, 800-811-9628. Tell them Dr. Brown sent you. All right, let's see if I can get in another question here. When you're praying for the sick, this is from Travis, how do you handle a lack of results? And is there a way, without leaning on methods, to see more divine healing take place? Yeah, I'm going to start here and take this up on the other side of the break. It's difficult when you pray for the sick and you don't see more results. And sometimes we draw back. I've done that over the years. Sometimes you get disappointed. It's hard to believe and fight again. Another cancer patient died. Another friend didn't make it. Someone with COVID didn't make it. Why, Lord? They loved you. They were faithful. So we have to come into this recognizing our faith will be challenged. People say, you Pentecostals, you just need a sign. You're weak. You need a crutch to lean on. And that's why you have to see miracles. I appreciate that criticism, but it's actually the opposite. When you start praying for the sick and believing God, your faith will be challenged much, much more. So you have to come in knowing I'm going to worship God and love Him no matter what. And along the way to seeing some victories and blessings and answers, I'm going to experience some pain. And I'm going to get more involved with the pain of other people because I'm praying for more people and extending my faith for more people. But I'll also see some glorious miracles.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you as we are having our Let's Get Healthy emphasis. We're talking also a lot about healing. I want to go back to a question that was asked by Travis on Facebook. When you're praying for the sick, how do you handle a lack of results? It's a difficult thing. And at times, I actually stepped back from praying for the sick as much because I was discouraged with lack of results. See, the word was so clear to me. I questioned what the word said about healing. I went through a time of rejecting God's will to heal today, etc. And I encountered God afresh in my own life and then went back to detailed, massively detailed study of the scripture every way I knew how, and was utterly convinced, as I am to this day, that God's ideal will for his obedient children is healing and health in this world. And yet, of course, we know of people born without limbs that are never healed. We know of godly people that die of sickness and disease, and we know of ungodly people that live long, healthy lives. I understand all that. I still have to go by what scripture says, not by what my experience is. I don't build my theology on experience, but on the word. So what we have to do is cultivate an attitude of faith, meaning if I dwell on the losses, if I dwell on those who are not healed, if I keep talking about that, it's very unlikely that I will see others healed. So a couple of Randy Clark books I want to recommend to you, as he has really studied this, not just been used by God in healing, but has meticulously documented things, wrote a doctoral dissertation on prayer for people with metal implants and results of that in his doctoral dissertation. So his book, The Thrill of Victory, The Agony of Defeat, it's a little book. I read it some years ago. Randy Clark, Thrill of Victory, The Agony of Defeat. He talks honestly about all those he prayed for that weren't healed. All the hours, the weeping, the burden, the exercising of faith or seeking to exercise faith and not seeing them healed. And then the miracles. And he asks a question. It was one miracle with a child born missing a large part of the brain that was basically supposed to be a vegetable. And after prayer was completely healed, he said, would you pray for 199 who weren't healed to get to that one for number 200? You know, similar examples like that. So that's useful to read. And then his latest book, Healing Breakthrough, which he gave me when I was with him in November of last year, Healing Breakthrough. And it talks about how to cultivate an attitude, an atmosphere of faith. I referenced it in the last segment. I want to reference that again. Travis, I think you'll find those helpful. Melissa, I've been part of healing ministries and seen different kinds of healings, but I don't understand why some people are prayed for once or twice at a basic type of healing prayer and get healed, and why some people seem to have to go through a litany of repentance, forgiveness, breaking generational stuff, etc., and eventually get healed or not. I'm not sure what the question is there, except do we always have to go through all the digging? You can see similar questions are coming up with some overlap, which is wonderful, meaning that we're experiencing a lot of the same things. I can only say God knows. God knows. I do not have answers for all of these things. And it's not a cop-out. It's the simple truth that God knows. I can say what I do understand from Scripture. Let's say that my sickness is related to my lifestyle. Right? Let's say that I have serious back pain because I'm morbidly obese. And again, not an attack on those who struggle with weight. I'm just speaking plainly here. Well, God might heal me once in his mercy, but then with it, a word to take weight off. If I don't, I might not get healed because I am causing the problem, right? Or it could be that I have been walking in unforgiveness towards lots of people, and it's built up bitterness and anger and stress inside of me because of which I'm sick. Until I deal with that, even if I was healed, the sickness would come back because my body's not functioning properly and because I'm getting more run down. You know, Dr. Stengler, when he was on with us previously, said that one of the things that could really open the door for COVID was stress. Right, so the mental, the physical, these things tying in together. So again, there could be a real demonic attack that's been generational, and this thing has to be broken. But I don't think in that way. In other words, what I'm going to do is see what the Word of God says and pray. Especially most people I'm praying for, it's just I don't know them. I meet them as I'm ministering. Hey, Dr. Brown, could you pray for me, etc. So that's all I know. I'm just asking God in his mercy and goodness and by means of what Jesus did on the cross to heal that person, right? If I'm with them on a pastoral level and they're not healed, obviously I just want to minister grace, help them to love the Lord and experience his goodness, whether sick or healthy. And then from there, there may be some deeper digging to do. Sometimes it's an unsaved person and God's demonstrating his power and they're instantly healed. Sometimes it's in response to a word of knowledge. There's someone here in this condition. God wants to heal you. Randy Clark said those that are prayed for after a word of knowledge, there's a much higher, because he documents all this with his teams, a much higher percentage of those people healed because obviously faith is coming alive at that moment. All right. Now, some have double questions, but I'm trying to get to as many as I can. So I'm just going to go to one. Lisa, where is the balance between praying for healing and preparing oneself or someone else for the inevitability of death? We all have to die sometime. Right. So first, it's just having a relationship with God and walking with the Lord. And there's a pastoral colleague, a dear brother, I'd preached for many times over the years. And I guess in his early 80s, he got diagnosed with cancer. And his response was, hey, I'm ready to go be with the Lord. So obviously his family prayed. That's the husband, that's the father, that's the grandfather, maybe great-grandfather, that's beloved pastor. But he was ready. one of my closest colleagues I've worked with for, 25 plus years, a missionary man of God. His first wife came down with cancer. They fought, they battled, they prayed, and he just had a sense, she's going home. She's going home. Other times, we've cried out to God until the last moment. We've cried out for healing until the last moment. And when it didn't come, then we worship God and commit this person to him and say, Lord, we know that he or she is with you with no pain, no sorrow right now. And we rejoice, but we're hurting right here. There are other times when it's sudden, you can't prepare, right? It's just person's gone. But certainly, if we have a good relationship with the Lord, we can pray for healing until the last moment. And when it doesn't come, then we worship God. Think of David in 2 Samuel 12. So he has sinned with Bathsheba. She's pregnant. She gives birth to a baby. And by this time, David's taken her in as his wife after killing her husband or having her husband killed. Right, pretty horrific. So it's a child born in adultery, and the child gets very sick. And David prays and fasts and prays and fasts. And then when the child dies, his advisors are petrified. What are we going to do? We can't tell them. David hears them talking. It's like, oh, okay, the child died. Like, what can I do now? When he was alive, I could pray. Now that he's gone, and that was under judgment because of their sin, now that he's gone, there's nothing I could do. So sometimes you cry out to the last moment. And if the healing doesn't come, then you worship the Lord. At other times, there's just a sense, for whatever reason, it's not going to happen. They're going to be with the Lord. Lord, we worship you, and let's just get ready together. You know, there are other times where the person says, I want you to fight to the last minute, right? That's what I want you to do. And when I'm gone, then you can mourn. All right. Heather, I've dealt with a chronic illness since birth. I believe in healing, but find it hard to believe for this one condition to go away. How can I change my mindset and see results? Yeah, Heather, that's very challenging when it's been with you all your life. What I would encourage you to do is renew your mind on a regular basis to what the Word says about healing, to read testimonies of miracles. For example, in Randy Clark's book, Eyewitness to Miracles, or Craig Keener's book, Miracles Today, or Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Miracles, and read about these incredible, extraordinary things that God has done. So you renew your mind to what God's Word says about healing, to renew and strengthen you, and then you read testimonies about miraculous healings. The book I mentioned before, Randy Clark's Healing Breakthrough, might be helpful, and perhaps through that something will rise in you, and God's grace will touch you, and you'll be another of those miraculous stories. May it be so. Jim, does God send sickness and disease on people too? Is all sickness and disease of the devil, or some from God? Ananias, Sapphira, David's child, diseases on the Egyptians, Romans 1:27, Acts 12:23, John 5:14. So all the right scriptures that you cited there. So let's go back to Exodus 15:26. Im shamoa tishma lekol Adonai lehekav v'yahashar benav sataseh. So if you know what happens, I remember all these in Hebrew. When I slow them down to stop and translate, then I confuse myself. So rather than quoting the rest of the Hebrew, I'll just quote the end here. Kol ha-machalah asher shamtim mitzrayim lo asim alecha ki ani Adonai rafecha. All the diseases that I put on Egypt, I won't put on you, because I'm the Lord your healer. You'll find the same language in Deuteronomy 7, 12 through 15, that God will put these things on those who hate him. So whether he sends it directly, whether he allows demonic powers to do it, right? So Luke 9:1, Jesus gives his disciples authority over demons and disease, the two going hand in hand. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all who were afflicted by the power of the devil, right? So we know the devil torments, attacks. He does that. So does God open the door for him to do that? Give him permission? Does God withdraw his hand of protection? Does God directly send sickness and healing? All of the above. But it is on the disobedient. It is judgment. It is judgment. Read through Deuteronomy 28. It is judgment. Throughout Scripture, sickness in and of itself is associated with death, with sin, with judgment, with the fall, with the devil. In and of itself, it's not a good thing, even though there are godly people who are sick, and God can work in our lives in the midst of sickness. Sickness in itself is a bad, negative thing. And yes, sometimes God sends it in judgment.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are continuing to answer your questions on divine healing with our Let's Get Healthy emphasis this month. Let me just say one other thing about our part, the role that we can play. So my wife Nancy is friends with a woman who is part of Dr. Joel Fuhrman's organization. We follow his nutritional guidelines. I've done my best to follow them to a T with amazing results these last 8.5 years. And that's why, as I've been using these Trivita supplements that we've been talking to you about, I've been like, whoa, supercharged. I'm really benefiting. I believe everybody will benefit, but I'm really benefiting. But here's something interesting. So my wife's friend, charismatic Pentecostal like us, she said in one week of one of Dr. Fuhrman's retreats for those with type 2 diabetes. So you go on one of these health retreats, you are weaned off all unhealthy food, you were put on healthy food only. There are doctors there who are monitoring your numbers and things like that to make sure that everything is healthy. She said that in 1 week of people making a radical change with nutrition, again, under doctor supervision, that she's seen more people healed of type 2 diabetes than in all of her decades in churches seeing people prayed for. Now, the problem is a lot of us are sick because of diet, nutrition, other health-related things, stress, lack of sleep, etc. We don't know it. I was probably willfully ignorant in many ways. But look, when I was in the hospital in 1985 when I had pneumonia, I referenced that earlier, and the hospital nutritionist came in to talk with me and asked what I eat. Well, you know, pizza most days. And she said, oh, well, that's good because you got this, you got this. And it was the worst advice ever. I mean, Nancy's joke with me about it over the years. Like, that was the absolute worst advice. I was probably going to eat it anyway, but I thought, oh, it's good for me. It's good for me to eat all this stuff. It's going to clog my arteries and do these other things. But it is interesting that I truly believe, especially in America with our unhealthy lifestyle and diets, I truly believe that a change in our nutrition, a change in our lifestyle would yield 10 times more healings than all our prayer for the sick, which would indicate to me that many things are in.